So today I'm going to finish up our series called Do Something Here. And over the past 4 weeks, we have been looking from the perspective of Ephesians chapter 2, like been thinking about what God is calling us to do in our communities, on our streets, in our neighborhoods, in the places that we work. And the lens that we've been trying to look through is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In the Message translation, Paul says these words. He says, He, God, creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. And so God created each one of you, and before you were even took your first breath, when he formed you together, he had work for you to do, good work, heavenly work, beautiful work. And during this series, my challenge, Carrie's challenge to you has been to open your eyes and see the places in your world where God is already at work, and then think, how can I join in and participate with what God is already doing? And so my goal for this series is that all of us, by the end of the series, by today, that we would have a story to tell, a story about how we have been doing something right where we are, right where God has planted us, to reflect the way of Jesus, to reflect the kingdom of Jesus to the world around us. And so I hope, I pray that you have a story from over the last 4 weeks. You have a story that you can tell that says, man, this is the work that I saw God doing, and I stepped into that work to participate with all that God was doing. Today, I'm going to finish our series, and we're going to look at one verse. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have your phone open and you want to open the Bible app, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to just settle in on one verse, and we're going to walk through this verse together this morning. So Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and it says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your written word. I thank you that every time we open the pages of your written word, you speak to us, you breathe all over us, you invite us into the mission that you have to bring heaven to earth. And this morning, as we look at this passage in Acts chapter 10, I pray that you would give all of us open eyes to see you for who you really are, to see the way in which you are already at work in us and through us. I pray that you would give us open ears to hear your voice, to hear the ways that you are teaching us and the ways that you are calling us forward. And I pray that you would give us open and courageous hearts to say yes to you and live in obedience to all that you have for us. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen and amen. So let me give you some context for this one verse that we're going to be looking at. The context is Acts chapter 10. And Acts chapter 10 is a game changer. It is a game-changing chapter in the story of the church. Acts chapter 10 starts with a Roman centurion whose name is Cornelius. And he wasn't Jewish, so he wasn't a part of the people of God. He wasn't a part of Israel. But he still believed in God. He still believed in Yahweh. And it says that he prayed regularly and he cared for the poor. Well, one day, Cornelius has this vision of an angel telling him to send for this man named Peter. And Peter was one of the 12 disciples. And at the same time of Cornelius's vision, Peter had his own vision. And it was this vision, it was a really weird vision, where a sheet full of animals that Jewish people consider to be unclean, it came down from heaven, and God tells Peter to eat these animals. And Peter refuses in his dream at first, because throughout his entire life, these animals were off limits to the Jewish people to eat. But God makes it clear to Peter in his dream. He says, "Don't call anything impure that I have made clean." Well, this vision, it wasn't about food. It wasn't really about the animals. It was about people. And God was preparing Peter to expand the table and share the gospel with people who weren't like him, who weren't part of the people of God, who weren't Jewish. When Peter arrives at Cornelius's house, he realizes that everything has changed. He realizes what God is doing. He sees what God is already doing, was already doing before he got there. And now the good news about Jesus is for everyone. So Peter shares this good news about Jesus with Cornelius and with his family. And while Peter is still speaking to the family, the Holy Spirit fills Cornelius and his whole household, just like at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter and the other believers were amazed, and they baptized Cornelius' family right away in Acts chapter 10. This moment in Acts 10 shows that God doesn't play favorites. His love and forgiveness and Spirit are available to all who place their faith in Jesus. Everything changed that day in Cornelius' house. In fact, it's important for all of us in this room, well, I would assume most of us in this room, to pause for just a moment and realize that we would not be part of the heavenly family of God if the moment of Acts chapter 10 had not happened. We were born Gentiles. We are, most of us, I would assume, were not born Jewish. And so we were not born into the family of God. We were born outside of the people of God. But now, because of what happens in Acts chapter 10, we have a seat at the table because the table was expanded. Because now in Jesus' kingdom, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Well, that's where we find Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is Peter's one sentence summary of Jesus' ministry. If we want to know what it looks like to do something right here, right where we are, we just need to look at the life and the ministry of Jesus. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and we're going to see what it means for us today. So let's read it again. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So let's look at that first part. Go back just a second. Thank you. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So what do we learn about doing something right where we are from the life and ministry of Jesus? The first thing we learn is that we are empowered to do something. You are empowered. What that means is that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit to do good works. Jesus' ministry starts by him being anointed by the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says that after Jesus' baptism, he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. So right here, before Jesus' ministry has even began, he is baptized, and when he comes up out of the water, he sees the Holy Spirit anoint him, settle on him. And you, who have been baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, have experienced that same anointing, that same empowerment. So we read this in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. It says, Peter says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and to all of those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And so just as Jesus in his baptism experienced the anointing, the empowerment, the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, when you were baptized into the waters and you came up out of the waters of baptism into new life, into a resurrection life, the Holy Spirit settled on you, took up residence in you, and you were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do good works. Here's how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, it is God who enables us along with you. So this is Paul saying, this is how God enables us, Paul speaking of himself, along with you, the church, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by how? Placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us. So just as Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about doing something here, right where you are, we're not talking about doing something on our own. I hope that you have gotten this over the last 4 weeks. It's not just what can you do, but it is what is God doing in you and what is God doing around you and how can you join in that work? When we talk about doing something here, we're talking about doing something through the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us, that is at work all around us. It is so crucial. This is so crucial when we talk about doing something right where we are. Because if it is true for Jesus that he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, then it is also true for us. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we also are empowered by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus went around doing good. So what do we learn about doing something right where we are from the life and ministry of Jesus? We learn that we do good in everyday places. We do good in everyday places. Throughout the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll notice that Jesus did not just do good in the holy places. Now, he did do good in the synagogues and the temple. He did. But it wasn't just in the holy places. Jesus did good as he went along. Doing good was just what he did. It was his lifestyle. There's an example of this in Luke chapter 19. It goes like this, that one day Jesus and his disciples were walking through a city called Jericho. And they were just passing on their way to Jerusalem. The streets were crowded. People were pushing in, just trying to get a glimpse of this person that they had heard of. And up in a tree sits a man named Zacchaeus, a tax collector. And nobody in Jericho liked Zacchaeus because he cheated people and he worked for the Roman Empire. In everyone's eyes, he was the last person who deserved Jesus's attention. But in the middle of all the noise and all the commotion, Jesus looked up and he called Zacchaeus by name and he invited himself over to his house for dinner. And that simple act of sharing a meal was Jesus doing good in everyday places. It wasn't a big miracle. It wasn't in the synagogue. It was around a dinner table. And that moment changed Zacchaeus's life forever. What started as Jesus simply noticing someone, calling him by name, and choosing to spend time with him changed his life. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, oh, that's cute. That's a story from the Bible. That's a story from 2,000 years ago. And so I put it in our world today. I mean, picture this. Picture Jesus walking into your favorite coffee shop on a Monday morning. He walks into a busy coffee shop during the morning rush. People are in line. They're buried in their phones. They are stressed about what's ahead of them for the day. And over in the corner at a table sits a man all by himself. And everybody in town knows that dude. He's got a reputation. Maybe he's the landlord who hikes up the rent whenever he wants. Maybe he's the business owner who cuts corners and cheats their employees. Maybe he's the neighbor that always seems angry and impossible to get along with. Most people will whisper about him, but no one is going to go to and sit with him. Instead of ignoring him, Jesus orders 2 cups of coffee, walks straight to that corner table. He calls the man by name and he asks, "Mind if I sit with you?" And suddenly the man, who's been written off by everyone else, feels seen and valued and invited into relationship. Over a simple cup of coffee, walls begin to come down, a heart begins to soften. What started as an ordinary moment in an everyday place becomes the turning point in this man's life. There's such an important detail that we find in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' story. And it's this. It's Acts chapter 10, verse 25. It says that Peter entered Cornelius' home. This is such an important detail. I was listening to a sermon this week on Acts chapter 10, and the person preaching the sermon is a really well-known, like, he's dead, he died a long time ago, and he's a really well-known theologian, and he was preaching this sermon, and he kept talking about how Cornelius' life was changed because Peter preached a sermon. And I was like, that's confusing to me, because so I went back to Acts chapter 10. I was like, was Peter like on a stage preaching to a whole group of people? And I realized none of that actually happened. You know where he was? This is the part where you respond. He was at the dude's house. Yeah? Like they were sitting at the kitchen table. This wasn't a monologue. Peter didn't step up with a podium with cool shoes on, you know, nice hair, microphone on, and preach the sermon. It was like, everybody listen to me for the next hour. It didn't happen that way. Instead, he came in. They probably made a meal, I'm sure. They sat at the kitchen table and they started talking. This is such an important detail that we can't miss. It's a bit risky for a pastor to say this, okay? But it's so important that you hear this if you're going to answer God's call on your life to go do something right where you live. Cornelius' life wasn't changed because Peter invited him to church. Because he went to a church event. Or because Peter preached a really great sermon with three songs. The context for this miraculous moment in Cornelius' life was his own home, his living room, his kitchen table, everyday life. Peter met that man right where he was. This is what we call the miracle of incarnation. God putting on a flesh suit and walking among us. This is what Jesus did for 3 years, meeting people on their turf. And this, please hear this, if you don't hear anything else I say today. This is what God is calling you to do. To meet people right where they are. That's what it means to be the church. It's doing something good and beautiful and heavenly in your everyday life, in everyday places. It's paying attention to what God is already doing in front of us, behind us, and all around us. And then jumping in and participating in God's work. Now, you might be sitting there saying, well, does that mean church isn't important? No, this is really important so that we can continue to remind each other of what we've been called to do. Yeah? So we come here and we tell stories about where we see God at work. See, you thought that was just like a filler. We do this stuff on purpose. Like, we tell stories of where God is at work so that we pay attention. I've heard so many of you say, yeah, I started paying attention because you kept asking the question and I wanted to have an answer. Sometimes I sit here and look at some of you and you're just like, I don't know. Is that a new question? Did you just ask that today? We've been asking it for 2 years. My hope is that you'll pay attention. Are you with me? That you'll pay attention to the world around you and you'll come here and you'll tell stories so that you can go back out there and look and see where God is at work so that you can join in that work. So this is still important. This is like us going to the gym and we're working out so that we can go and do the real stuff, the real work in our everyday lives. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And you're like, oh man, this is about to get weird. What are we going to do here? Okay, here's what we learned from the life and ministry of Jesus about doing good, doing something right where we are. We learn that we bring healing and freedom just as Jesus brought healing and freedom. Now, Jesus didn't just do some sort of vague kindness, okay? I'm not saying that acts of kindness are bad. I'm just saying we have to be honest with what Jesus was doing. He wasn't just walking through the streets doing just random acts of kindness. He was offering people real change. He healed their bodies. He broke chains of oppression and addiction. And he restored people's hope. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads from the prophet of Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. And he said what he was reading from Isaiah was being fulfilled in and through him, which means Jesus was saying, this is what I'm doing. And here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And that is exactly what he sends us out to do as well. In Luke chapter 10, so Luke 4, Jesus reads this about himself. And then in Luke 10, Jesus sends out 72 of his followers into the neighborhoods, and this is what he tells them to do. He tells them, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. Go do what you've watched me do. So it's important that we remember why we are doing what we are doing. We do what we do so that people will encounter the risen Christ. Let me say that again, okay? Maybe we should have started the series with this. We do something here where we are so that people will encounter the risen Christ. Did everybody hear that? Not just so that we make the world a better place. We want to do that. When it looks more like heaven, it'll be better, I promise. But we want people to know Jesus because we believe that Jesus is where life and more life is found. So we want them to encounter the risen Christ, the Lamb of God that came and died for them to take away their sins. Because if they don't know that Jesus, then they are still living in their sins. This is why Peter says the following to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He says to Cornelius, he says, they put him, Jesus, to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. And then he continues, he says, Jesus is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. So Peter didn't just go over and share a meal. He didn't just go over and hang out with the neighbor. God called Peter to go to Cornelius and Cornelius' family so that he could share the good news of Jesus and the work of Jesus on the cross. He shared the good news of Jesus with Cornelius so that Cornelius and his whole family would be saved through the work of Jesus. Now listen, I'm not telling you that you have to do this over your first meal with your neighbor. That would maybe be weird. If you want to, go for it. If you feel like God is calling you to that, awesome. But let's not forget our ultimate calling that is found in Matthew chapter 28, to go and make disciples of Jesus. Let's not forget this. We want everyone around us to know Jesus. Gosh, I hope that is what you want. We want to see them baptized into the name of Jesus so that they will be saved from their sins and have life and more life in and through Jesus. This summer, my family went up to the Northeast and one of our stops was in New York City. And one night we went to Times Square And I had this moment, and I've been having these moments more regularly. And we were standing in Times Square, and there's all this marketing. There's all these lights. There's people filming YouTube videos, and there's people looking for purpose and meaning and belonging. There's just, it's complete chaos. And I'm standing there, my family's there, and I haven't told anyone this, so this is, I'm just going to go for this. And I'm standing there in the middle of Times Square, and I have this overwhelming sense that God was like, Justin, do you see all these people around you? Most of them do not know my son Jesus. And it was just this like heavy feeling. Now, I'm not saying that I'm making assumptions, you know, of all the people at Times Square. I think it was just God saying, I want you to feel this. And to be honest, I've had this not just at Times Square in New York City. I've had this walking down the street in the middle of Concord. This just overwhelming sense that I am surrounded by people that don't know Jesus. And I want them to know Jesus. And the reason that I think that this series is so important is because my hope is that we will be a church full of people that are doing good works in our world that makes much of Jesus so that those people who don't know him will have an opportunity to know him. We'll experience healing and freedom that is found in Jesus. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. One last thing. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What do we learn about doing something here from the life and ministry of Jesus? We learn that God's presence makes the difference. Have you ever had this experience where your iPhone dies, you run out of battery? Have you ever had the experience where your phone dies, and you're in a really tight spot? Like, it's like, oh no. Like, how am I going to get home now? I don't know how to do this without maps. Have you realized this? I just happened to me the other day. I'm like, I don't even know which way to turn. I'm so reliable. I rely on my iPhone all the time. But when this happens and your phone dies, you have seen this image on the screen. Yeah? And sometimes when you're really under pressure and you're in denial that the battery is dead, let's just be honest, you smash that button on the side hoping that maybe there's just enough juice to turn that thing on. No matter how many times you try to hold down that button, that power button, nothing changes. That phone is still dead. And you have to plug it in before it's going to start working again. Well, God's presence with us is the power source that enables you and I to do what we were created to do. We don't go and do something here on our own. This is why Jesus says in my favorite verse of the whole New Testament, John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Listen to this. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When we are unplugged from the power source, we can do our best. We can give it our best shot. But the fruit will not last. But when we are plugged into the power source, when we remain connected to Jesus, when God's presence is with us and we are doing good things, man, those ordinary places become holy ground. And those small encounters that we have throughout our day, those become kingdom moments. God's presence in you and with you makes all the difference. It makes the impossible possible. It's the power supply that we need in order to bring heaven to earth.